It's Wednesday, December 7, Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. Very good morning to you if you're just tuning in. Nearly 50 minutes gone in the World Cup round of 16 match between Portugal and Switzerland, and Portugal leads 2-0. And Cristiano Ronaldo, still not on the park. He started from the bench. So we'll see if he comes on late or whether they just don't put him on at all, which would be interesting as well. Considering they look like they've got the match very much safe in their keeping at the moment anyway. And it looks like they'll play Morocco in the round of 16, as we saw the first real shock of the knockout stage at the World Cup. Goal Portugal, 3-0, they're through. Write it in. They'll play Morocco in the quarterfinals. Morocco, so it finished scoreless against Spain after 120 minutes, and then it went to penalties. Morocco won the shootout 3-0. Spain couldn't even put it in the back of the net.
The biggest storyline now, Mitto? Everyone's eyes will be on Ronaldo to see what he's like when he comes onto the field.
I reckon there's a chance they won't put him on here.
You reckon?
Yeah. Send a message. We don't need you, mate.
Yeah. Possibly. Mm. But I reckon everyone will be looking to see what his body language is like and how happy he is and see whether he's celebrating goals. But they're all over Switzerland, aren't they? 3-0.
Mm. Yeah, looking good. Now, joining us in the studio, what are you laughing at, Dean Bulldog Richie?
Good morning.
What are you laughing at?
I just love Laurie's World Cup appraisals. I enjoy
them. World game, Bulldog.
They're all over them, quote unquote.
All over them.
Well, he's made a factual statement in his defence.
Well, you tell me they're not.
But last week, oh, that's Rashford.
And who was it?
I said, what does he look like? Who does he play? Oh, it's Rashford.
Man United.
Good morning. How are we?
Very well.
Hey, Clarky.
Bulldog, what's doing?
What's for brekkie?
I went for a egg and cheese wrap, bit of Barbie sauce.
Well, that's not overly healthy for you, Clarky.
Nah, eggs, bit of protein, best bread, spinach wrap.
Yeah,
cheese is probably not the best, but that's all right. I'll burn the cows.
Okay, good man.
I'm daddy daycare at the moment.
Nice.
Daughter started school holidays, so I'm at home for the next couple of days.
Family comes first, Clarky.
Well, it's got to. It's got to, mate. The single father life. This is how it works, you know? Got to look after the little one.
Well, I hope you got no trips to Bali planned, Bulldog.
Yeah, no, I won't be going there.
No, I shan't be going to Bali.
Or never anywhere been else in Indonesia, for that matter.
Never been had a desire to go to Bali, to be honest with you. I was more of a Hawaii man if I was going to go sit under a palm tree.
Yeah, I don't think you're on your own there. They're the two choices.
I've seen the way you dress, so you are an Hawaiian man. You like the Hawaiian shirts. But what do you think of the bonk ban over there in Bali?
The bonk ban?
Yeah.
Oh, look, I don't think I'll say too much, Loz. I think I might get myself into trouble.
Really?
Yeah, so, look, it's weird though, isn't it, in all honesty? Why would a resort island bring in such a rule which is going to deter tourists?
Well, it's Indonesia. It's obviously religious connotations here,
of course,
being a Muslim country, even though Bali's Hindu, isn't it, a majority in that island. So, yeah.
But talk about frightening off tourists. Mm. They're the ones that bring the bucks in.
I just want to know how it's enforced.
And I'm still a bit confused. Is it? Surely it's in public. You're not allowed to be doing that. But surely
that would be normal anyway, wouldn't it?
You would think. Well, not necessarily.
Okay.
On a party island, things can happen.
You can do what you like in your own bedroom, though. Surely.
Well, you'd imagine so.
How do you prove it? Is there a camera in every hotel room, or my word against yours?
So you can't have premarital sex and extramarital sex. But you know what? I reckon.
And what if you're testing the water before you get married?
Oh, no. Well, you have to do that here in Australia before you go.
Could you get married, have a good night, then annul?
Ouch. Costly.
Costly, but.
Better than being in jail, I guess.
Yeah, true.
Exactly. Right. True.
You can't spend it in jail. Oh, well, actually, I take that back. You probably can.
You know, having sex regularly keeps
morning.
Yep. No.
Morning,
kids. It helps keep your memory alive. So I want to wish you a great 2015.
What did I do last night? Thought I watched Home and Away, but it was off.
I saw someone left Home and Away as well recently.
Yeah, there's lots leaving.
Yeah.
Well, why are they all leaving?
I don't know. Nickow's leaving.
Nickow, is the show coming to an end?
No.
No, that was Neighbours. But right. Neighbours is back, Loz.
I can't
believe
that.
I saw Neighbours is back, yeah.
You can't come back after the farewell they had.
Why? Plenty of people retire and come back.
Yeah, but that they had, like, mate.
Farewell party.
You know, people came from overseas, what's a face and what's his face, and they
mate,
had the biggest
we do it every
farewell
day.
Show you've ever seen.
I'm never speaking to you again. Give it a week and you'll be calling back. We do it every day,
human
mate.
Nature,
come on.
Clarkie.
Yeah, play on. Everyone deserves a second chance, and then a third, and then a fourth. Play on.
Okay, Bulldog, let's talk some footy. Actually, we'll start this story over the weekend just on, you know, disgruntled people and whether, you know, we come back, etc. The Dragons had a premiership reunion, 2010 premiership, and obviously it was postponed due to COVID when they obviously would have wanted to have it a couple of years ago to mark 10 years. And I saw this, I'm sure a lot of our listeners and league fans saw it. Matt Cooper got on social media and basically voice that he wouldn't be going and explain due to, you know, the presence of an ex-CEO, Peter Doust. And he also went on to say, well, a player there as well who didn't even play in the game. So there's been some fallout over this.
Yeah, it's a very strange situation. Matt Cooper clearly angry at the Dragons. He's been having pot shots at St. George Illawarra on Twitter for a while now, so he's a disgruntled ex-player, Laurie, I guess you could say. But it was very surprising for the players. It was at Randwick Racecourse last Friday. They had a race day out there, and the boys from the 2010 Premiership winning team were there. Most of them were there. But Matty decided in his wisdom that he didn't want to go because of a former player who didn't play in the grand final. I can't work that out, Loz, because
surely
a lot of players play during the year that may not play in the grand final.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So regardless, anyone that's played that year should be welcome to a reunion, you would think, if they won the grand final that year, because it's part of the reason why you get there. Those players help contribute to the grand final at the end of the day, even if they don't get on the field. So obviously, Matt has got some personal beef with people at the Dragons, but I reckon the Dragons would have their side of the story as well.
Matty's was always very good to me as a journalist, and I've always got on well with Matt, but he's had some battles since he retired. Some suggest that he was one of those players that didn't take to retirement easily. Some do, some don't. The claim is that he was promised a job after footy and didn't get it, but if you speak to people in the Dragons camp, they say he was offered a job. So I guess there's some truth somewhere in there. I don't know exactly where it starts or finishes, but it's just a shame. That's the bottom line. It's very sad that a former player who was such an influential player, played for Origin, played test matches.
Yeah, grand final winning player.
Grand
as well.
Final. Very proud St. George Illawarra
player. Was he one club player, Bulldog? Matt Cooper?
Yeah, I think he was actually, Clarkie.
So that hurts as well, you know. Like, you'd like to hope. And sometimes it takes a riff like this, or, you know, for it to actually touch the public forum for both parties to then try and mend it. So you'd like to hope, even if Matt doesn't have a job with the club, that they can find a way to, rightio, we can see clearly, everyone can see clearly there's beef. It might take the Dragons reaching out and saying, rightio, come in, let's have a conversation, let's try and fix his problem. Because again, one club player, he was a hell of a player as well. You just, even if it's just saying positive things about the club, you'd rather that than, this is not the first time Matty's made it clear that he's peed off with the Dragons. I think we saw it a few times throughout the year. So I think if you're the club, you're trying to soften that as much as you can and, you know, pay Matt the time and respect that he needs to be heard by the sounds of it.
He was a great player, wasn't he, Matty Cooper? Loz, great defensive centre. And formed a wonderful centre partnership with Mark Gasnier. They were two of the elite centres of their generation.
Yeah, they were. But again, you know, I don't know what issues surround the reasons why he hasn't turned up. You know, he said that, you know, what he said on Twitter. But I think you've got to be bigger than that at times too. You know, your teammates are there. They want you to come. They respect you as a player and as a person. And it's great memories. And, you know, Matt might regret not turning up in, you know, another 5 years' time. He might think, oh, geez, I missed that opportunity to go and have another reunion.
Missed a chance to go and see players. Things can happen between now and the next time you see that playing group. Regardless, I just think it's sad, but you know the Dragons would have their point of view as well. So this is just one side of the story we're hearing from a former player.
But would you like to see it fixed, Loz? Like, no matter who's right or wrong here, do you think it'd be good for the Dragons to try and fix this?
I think
this?
In a perfect world, yes, but yeah. You look at most clubs around the NRL, they would have players, former great players, that are unhappy either with the direction of the club or have their relationship finished in...
Or missed out on a role after the
year. It happens. Yeah. And you can't give everyone a job, you know. But again, you know, if you think you've been dutted, well, you know, you'll take that personally and that will sit with you for a period of time. But, you know, the Dragons would have their opinion on what actually occurred as well and how it went down.
Sorry, Loz. I did reach out to Peter Dowse twice this week to try to get his side of the story. Dowsey didn't ring back. That's fine.
But I respect but I like that more, Bulldog.
Well,
I
that's think what I'm saying. He didn't want to tip any more fuel out of the fire. Having said that, he could have also explained the situation clearly and possibly put it to bed. But
it wouldn't go to bed because now it's his word. Like, as soon as he makes a comment or the Dragons make a comment, then it's back. It's like tennis. Now it's back to Matty. So I actually think that is smart play by the Dragons, by not touching it, even if, as Loz said, even if they know their own truths and they feel, hang on a second, you guys don't, the public don't know the full story. I like that they're willing just to take the hit for it to die. I think that, and again, you're talking about a one-club player that was a brilliant player. I actually think that's quite respectful.
Now, you've written a story today, Bulldog, about, the Super League piece. It's been 25 years. And you've spoken to Neil Whittaker.
Yeah, I've actually bumped into Neil Whittaker, believe it or not, down at the Collaroy Beach Club having a beer about 10 days ago. And I asked him what he was doing and he told me that he now lives half his life on a farm at a place called Laggan, which is about 10k north of Crookwell. So I sent a photographer down there. We've got these lovely photos of Neil with his... He's got 3,000 sheep and lamb and a cattle dog called Rex and... It's a whole new world to what Neil went through when he was dealing with the powerful execs from News Limited 25 years ago, trying to secure that peace deal. And peace was formed in late 97. Of course, the NRL was born in 1998. And let's be honest, the game has grown and grown and grown since then. And it's back to where it was pre-Super League. But I can't help but think what or where the game could be right now if it wasn't for the work of Neil Whittaker and the News Limited executive, Ian Frickberg, who sadly passed away in 2014. Those two saved the game, and they are credited with that, as they should be. But it's a lovely story in today's Telegraph. Neil's new life on the farm, and just having a look back at those heady yet controversial days of Super League.
One thing I noticed in your article today, he says he does think more clubs should have merged. I can't agree with him on that.
Yeah. I'm not sure whether he said they should have merged, but he was surprised that they didn't merge. Oh, okay. He thought, as did Ian Frickberg, that more clubs would take... There was a financial incentive back there, Middo, which I think was about $4 or $5 million to merge. He thought more clubs would do it. Did make a point, though, for all the people that obviously are disgruntled still about their clubs merging all those years ago, that Neil said a lot of talk was unfolding before Super League about clubs merging because the amount of Sydney clubs was excessive and they all couldn't survive in the cutthroat market. So it was interesting to think that it wasn't just Super League. He said, look, that accelerated the amalgamations of some clubs, but it was happening anyway, well before Super League.
Now, Bulldog, another story you've written this week is the Manly Junior Rugby League Club, or Rugby League District, put out... Well, it's best team over the last 90 years and a pretty impressive-looking side it was as well.
Yeah, it was a really interesting debate that a three-man panel down there had in terms of picking for their 90th anniversary, Middo, their greatest ever team of Manly Juniors. And, of course, Manly over many, many decades, Loz, as you will know, have been criticised and bagged and censured and accused of not developing their own and buying premierships, which is probably half true. But they do also and have also produced many great players. I won't go through the whole team, Middo, but some of the names in that Manly junior team was Tom Drobojevic, Russell Gartner, Alan Thompson, Jeff Tuvey. That's a damn good forward pack. What about this? Terry Randall, North Kirkcaldy, Max Krillich, Harbord, Alambi, Narrabeen, Roy Bull, Freshwater, Steve Menzies, Harbord, Anthony Watmo, Narrabeen, and Jake Trebojevic, Mona Vale. Fred Jones, Ian Martin, Phil Blake, three legends, are all on the bench. So that's a terrific side and does show to you that they do cop a bit Manly, but in terms of developing, they have done a good job over many years.
You can always tell the strength of a side when you look at the people that have been left out or are on the interchange bench, and that just says it all. So Manly have produced a lot of good juniors over their 90-year history. What about Rugby League Bulldog? Some great characters, some great men, and we lost a wonderful man this week in Paul Broughton.
Yeah, Paul passed away a few days ago. Laurie, aged 91. A lot of support around the game. Gus Gould, I know, is one person that...
Well, we saw him only a week and a half ago.
Yeah, at Rocky Miller's funeral. Yeah, and even then, I think he lives up the Gold Coast, Laurie.
Yeah,
he managed
down.
To come down at 91, which is extraordinary. Coached Newtown, coached Balmain. Was known as a visionary. Would often talk to people, but his thinking was outside the square.
Before his time, he was always forward thinking about the game, about clubs, about the game in general, how it may look. And his thoughts were always different to how you and I would perceive things to be.
Was it a bit of American football in his...
Yeah,
I remember thinking there was
it.
A lot of US
a
football of in his logic.
But what's such a great man. Always good to sit down and have a chat with him because he'd make you think differently. That's the thing I liked about Broader. He would make you think differently about the game, about yourself, about what you're doing. And he always had, loved an idea, you know, and he was big on the American football goalposts and things like that. But he was always looking to change, always looking to do things a little bit differently. Had a massive impact on a lot of people.
You think of the razzmatazz in rugby league these days, and I'm not saying we're heading toward the NFL, but there is a bit of NFL coming to our game, the glitz and the glamour. And you go back to Paul Broughton and Jack Gibson, they were probably the first two visionaries to look at America and think, you know what, we can bring a bit of that to our game, whether it be training, off-season, diets, weights,
stats. They love the stats.
Whatever it may be, a lot of that American stuff that is in our game right now, which we don't even know about it. You know, we don't know it's American, but it was. It was actually pinched from America many years ago by guys like Gibbo and the great Paul Broughton.
Now, the World Club Challenge, February 18, slated for Penrith and St Helens. It's got some hurdles. One is just the availability of some Penrith players coming back after World Cup duty and their mandatory time out. And also just the fact Penrith, the club, are, you know, pretty disgruntled with the NRL over, well, prize money for one issue. So will it go ahead?
Yeah, I think it will. You know, the story last week was that the money that Penrith want from the NRL is at least $100,000 because that's the money that they would have got substituting the World Club Challenge for the second trial match, which was going to be against Parramatta, grand final replay. It would have been a big trial game. It's only a trial, but these days trials are on Fox Sports and they've got quite a status in the game. So that was going to be about 100. So they want at least that. So the money hasn't been decided just yet, but I think you'll find Penrith have agreed to play the game now, which is good. The Panthers were also chasing another $200,000, which they believe is rightfully theirs, for winning the premiership this year. That number was sliced during COVID. They got 200, but they believe they deserved 400. So they're still chasing that 200. I don't think they'll get that money. I think that's gone. But the money for the World Club Challenge will be forthcoming. And that game against St Helens will go ahead, as you said, out there at Penrith on the 18th at 6 o'clock.
Now, Eddie Jones, I note, overnight has been sacked. It's been confirmed by England Rugby. Of course, Anthony Seibold was working for him. Would Eddie go and work for Anthony Seibold at Manly now? There you go.
Yeah.
Switch roles.
It's a good point. Loz, I heard you talking about it yesterday. Eddie's always had a love of rugby league. A bit like Michael Checker. They both want to coach rugby league, and there's a desire in them to coach. Like Checker did it at the World Cup. Mm. He's learned his trade under Trent Robinson at the Roosters. And Eddie is the same. He would love a crack at rugby league. the mail I got is that there might be some big fat offer from American Rugby on the table for Eddie. So whether he comes back here, I don't know. But certainly, I know Eddie would love a crack at league. And look, who knows? Could you one day, Laurie, see a high-profile rugby union coach cracking it as a head coach in rugby league? The games are so similar, but they're also so different.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen at some stage.
Is it a big risk, though?
Oh, no, if you surround yourself with the right people. You know, it's like in 20 years' time, actually, 10 years' time. 10 years' time, we'll see a female assistant coach, possibly a female head coach in the NRL. That's the way we're tracking. And it's if that happens, there's no reason why you can't see a rugby union coach coming over and being involved in the game as well. I think we're all open now to possibilities. And with the way that the game has expanded and we see the women's football explode, whether it's rugby league, soccer, rugby union in this country, it's a massive growth area of all sports here. I think you'll see a lot more women involved at the highest level, and you'll see people with management skills or leadership skills cross over into different sports.
The theories are the same in union and league, so it's not an impossible task, is it?
It's just the technical and the game planning of, you know, the sport you win that you need to be on top of. But if you have your assistants that are very good at doing that, as a head coach, you can just manage all that.
I still think it's a risk. And I think it would be a risk more in terms of the fans. And if it didn't work in the first perception. 6 weeks, they'd be screaming the joint down.
No, I got no doubt that Eddie Jones or a Michael Checker, someone that's been at the highest level with a rugby union team, could cross over and do a great job in rugby league if they had the right support staff around them.
Thank you, Dean.
Thanks for having me.
Now, it is 5-1 Portugal leading Switzerland here at the World Cup, round of 16, less than 10 minutes plus stoppage time remaining. 5-1. And Ronaldo's on. He only came on about 6-7 minutes ago. So the theory is, Loz, very happy Portugal side with him out of the team, or out of the starting 11. And they've played with happiness and scored lots of goals without their mercurial talisman, who's
it's not
really
that
grumpy.
It's not just that they're so much better than the team they're playing. It's because now all of a sudden they're happy that Ronaldo's out of the team.
Well, I'm just...
You're unbelievable.
Well, it's just the theory.
You will. If you decide to hang your boots up here, you can definitely front Daily Mail. I reckon you've found your next venture.
Oh, you...
Definitely.
Then again, how much?
Yeah. We've all got a prize, buddy.
So 5-1, Portugal set to play Morocco in the quarterfinals at the World Cup after Morocco beat Spain in the first shock of the knockout phase, I should say. Been some shocks in the group matches, but in
France,
the knockout
England.
Phase. Oh, look out. This
when
is
was
a
that?
Is this Ronaldo? Oh, Ronaldo's through. 1-1.
Is he scored?
Yes.
Has he scored?
He scored.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, he's offside.
He's offside. No, baby.
Offside. No. Look, even the young Portugal fan there was just cheering that he didn't score. Anyway.
Is he blowing up, Ronaldo?
No, nah, he's sort
kicking
of,
the dust.
Oh, he's offside by a mile.
He's offside by 3 metres.
Oh, no. That would have rubbed it into the coach, wouldn't it? Have some of that, coach.
Not at 5-1.
Being on for 3 seconds. How hard is it to score a goal? We'd be winning 12-0 if I was out there. That's what Ronaldo's saying.
He could be Portugal's goalkeeper coach as well, Clark.
Mate, he hasn't had to save many.
Hasn't had to do much in this game. But
he might do in the coming games, though. Don't worry about that. Gosh, when's England-France?
Sunday morning.
Time?
6 a.m.
Oh,
let me check
please.
That. I'm pretty sure that's the case, though. Gosh, what a game that's going to be. That is going to be
beauty.
Epic. Yep, 6 a.m. Sunday morning. Is England-France. And
who's Brazil got next?
They've got Croatia. That is the 2 a.m. game on Saturday morning.
Oh, come on.
And the man who replaced... Here we go, Clarkie. So, Goncalo Ramos.
Goncalo.
Yes.
Yeah. Good mate.
Thank you. Yep. Goncalo. So, he replaced Ronaldo in Portugal's starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Three goals.
Oh, mate.
Hat trick.
Seriously. It's like Sir Donald Bradman getting injured and someone comes in and makes 100 against Zimbabwe. Oh, can you believe they got 100?
Three goals.
Mate, come on. You guys are quick to get rid of Tom Brady. You're quick to get rid of Ronaldo. But you're happy to keep Messi because he did well against Australia. The old boys, mate, don't write off the old boys.
No, we're not writing them off. We're just saying that the replacement has scored three goals.
They're playing Zimbabwe, mate, in the test match.
And the team chemistry looks enormous out there on the field
today. Oh, they're a better team without Ronaldo?
I didn't say that. I said
I'm asking. That's a question.
The chemistry.
That's a question. Are they, in your opinion, are they a better team with Ronaldo or without Ronaldo?
At the moment, I would say without Ronaldo, the way they've played today.
Oh, my God.
They have played some great football. And to score five goals
now I've heard it all.
In the last 16, I think that's a tremendous effort from Portugal.
You know, they reckon Sir Donald Bradman was one of the most selfish players to ever play the game?
Yep.
Do you reckon there was ever an Australian cricket team that was better with him or without him?
Probably none.
Me either. What about Tom Brady?
Different variables back then, Clarky. A lot of variables now.
What about Tom Brady?
Well, Tom Brady's... What
show
about
me a team that's better without him.
Well, Tom Brady has been... proven to be one of the most unselfish players to play the game,
mate.
Considering the money he went over
LeBron
time.
James, you two also smoke LeBron. What about LeBron? Show me a Lakers team that's better without him.
No, what we've said is that they've passed their best.
Yeah,
that's
correct.
What we've said.
Ronaldo might be past his best, but no Portugal team on the planet is better without him than with him.
I would say they would be when they're past their best.
Mate, he's still good. I'm talking about right now today.
Let's put this to someone who
he's
knows
not 65
a lot
better than years
us. And we're now joined on the line by, well, Sydney FC coach Steve Corriker. Steve, a very good morning to you.
Good morning. I can see you having a fight there.
Yeah, we're having a big fight.
Great morning.
We love our football fights as well. Something none of us know anything about.
Now the argument is, obviously, Cristiano Ronaldo has been one of the great sideshows at this World Cup, and not just due to what's been going on with him at Manchester United, but now the fact he was obviously left out of the starting 11 for a knockout game this morning. Which Portugal have gone on and done very, very well in leading 5-1 here against Switzerland. So we're arguing, is this Portugal team happier without him?
No, I'm not arguing anything to do with happiness. Are they better without him?
Yeah. Well, if you look at the way the results gone today, they played fantastic without him. Obviously, he's come on. I'm actually watching the game. He's just come on now as well. And he just scored a goal, but he was offside. So, he definitely has his qualities. He's been an amazing player for many years and still has them qualities. So, obviously the coach thinks at this stage maybe he can't do the running that he expects, maybe, because that's what really they think when they get to a certain age where they can still do that for 90 minutes. Obviously today's game showed that they were fantastic without him. So, but I'm sure he's still going to play a big part in, whether he comes off the bench or starts for Portugal, because that's an amazing result for them as well today.
Mm. Steve, we're trying to work out earlier, has he been dropped because or benched because of what you're saying, his fitness and the way he's playing, or is it because he's had a stink with the manager?
Oh, I don't think probably not with the manager. I think maybe he just hasn't been playing, really. He's probably not much fit. I'm not 100% sure of why he's left him out, but, I'd say it had something to do with that, because it's a high-tempo, high-tempo game. And, if you haven't been playing, especially at that age as well, I think, you could be a little bit off the pace and stuff like that. So he's gone the other way with the other striker. Okay. He's obviously scored a hat-trick this morning, Ramos, and... he's now come on, Ronaldo, so I'm sure he'll do well, for sure.
I'm sure you'll be sick of talking about Ronaldo, Steve, but I got one more. So if you've got a legend in your team like a Ronaldo, and there's a lot to consider when you go, well, we're going to drop him from the starting side. If you're in charge, do you make that decision alone, or would you consult some of your senior players, or do you consult your other assistant coaches, or do you just go on your gut and go, I'm going to make this decision on my own?
No, definitely not. You obviously, you discuss definitely with your assistant coaches, and, you want to be making sure those you make it for the right reasons, obviously. And maybe you would probably explain to the more senior group as well if there was a player of that kind of stature and just give them the, you know, the reasons why. It's never easy for a coach, obviously, to have that kind of player. There's obviously a lot of pressure on the coach as well to play him and so on. So it's always a difficult one. Either way, you know, there's always going to be people for you and against. So it's never easy. But, you know, I think what he's done in the game has been amazing. He's still going now, still wants to continue playing. And, you know, he still has qualities to score goals. He will score goals. It's as simple as that. He has them qualities. He's done it throughout his whole career, and I'm sure he will until he retires.
Steve, big game on Saturday night, buddy, against an undefeated Melbourne City. How's the break been for the boys, and what have you guys been working on?
Yeah, it's been good, actually. Obviously, watching the World Cup has been amazing, especially with the Socceroos doing so well as well. A lot of A-League players in that Socceroos side, so we're getting our keeper back, and Melbourne City have got their three players back as well. So it's going to be a good game for us, first game back, especially at Allianz Stadium as well. So it's been good. We've obviously got a couple of players back as well that are coming back from injuries, which obviously helps us, more experienced players as well, which is great. You know, we played the Celtic game in between that period as well, which we beat them, which was really good. I was really pleased with. And just had a, you know, in-house game and another game against an A-League team last weekend. So just preparing ourselves, make sure we're not losing our match fitness, and now we're ready to go.
Oh, as we just watched Portugal make it 6-1 there.
Oh, Switch. See, I missed that.
It was Ronaldo who scored, by the way.
I was wrong there.
Just on some of those specific players you talk about, Steve. So Andrew Redmayne coming back, obviously, from the Socceroos squad, and Adam Lafondra and Jack Rodwell, who have been injured. So will all those players play Saturday night?
They'll all be involved, yes, in the squad. Whether they all start is a different situation. But, obviously, we're pleased to have them players back. They bring a lot to the team, a lot of experience as well. And it's great to have them back, and we just want to move forward. Obviously, it's a great opportunity for us as well to play against Melbourne, who have been in really good form. They got their Socceroos back as well. And I think, for me, I think Lecky has been one of the players of the tournament for the Socceroos, for sure. I think he was amazing over there. So Tilly didn't play actually, I don't think he played, but McLaren come on a few times as well. So they'll be all back, and I'm sure they're raring to go back in the A-League. So it's going to be an exciting game, and one we need to win.
Geez, I hope for the sport, Steve. It kicks with the Socceroos doing really well over there in Qatar, because, you know, there's so many people that support the game here on so many different levels, and I want to see people get out and support their teams, and hopefully that'll start this weekend off the back of
so that. Do we, mate. You know? So do we. There's been so much support, obviously, for the Socceroos, and they've done a fantastic job, but I think, you know, the quality of the A-League, a lot of them players have been playing in the A-League or played in the A-League beforehand, so, you know, we really want people to come out and support the A-League as well, because there's a lot of players that will be coming through in the A-League that will be the next generation of Socceroos. So, obviously we want as many people out there as possible on Saturday night.
Yeah, let's ride the wave. It's a cracking game to come back with for your team Saturday night. Good luck, Steve, and
I'm
sure we'll chat later in the season.
Great, thanks, guys.
Brad Davidson, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jared. Morning, everyone. How are we going?
Yeah, really well, thanks. And I see, firstly, is Nature Street back in work, heading towards another autumn preparation?
Yeah, it comes around quickly, doesn't it, guys? And back in pre-training, Nature Strip heading towards that fourth consecutive TJ Smith. And I suppose the big question he has to answer, guys, is can he go on with it now? Because, ever since he's returned from overseas and that dominant display at Royal Ascot, he won first up impressively, but then the wheels fell off in the Spring Carnival. He was only just beaten down the straight there before a break, but the old Nature Strip would have won that race by about four lengths. So we'll wait and see how much that trip's taken out of him. He's obviously getting on in age as well, but I'm sure with the break, I'm sure there's plenty left in the tank still for the world's best sprinter, and he'll get the chance to show that. He'll head towards the TJ, of course. They'll go to the Lightning down south as well, so there'll be a few races there. And the ownership group talking about the potential of heading back to Royal Ascot, but saying 60-40, unlikely at this stage, just because of his age and how much of an arduous task it is to get a horse over there and back to Royal Ascot again.
What's the plan for She's Extreme in the autumn, Davo?
Yeah, Loz, a light autumn, I believe. I'm likely to have around the three runs and just have a pretty light style of autumn for her. She's unlikely to go on and race in the Oaks. Obviously, she won the VRC Oaks, but unlikely to head towards the Australian Oaks in the Sydney autumn. So believe she'll head towards races like Storm Queen, the Queen Elizabeth, and even the Coolmore prior to that. So most likely those three races for her. But look, by all reports, she's come back well and seems to have developed nicely. And yeah, they're just happy to give her a lighter autumn and then build towards a busier spring. So she did a great job in the spring. I thought they handed the Oaks to her with a slow speed that day. They should have probably tested her a little bit more, tested her stamina abilities. But anyway, they just walked and that played into her hands and she was able to sprint too well from late in the piece.
Now, has there been a prize money boost for Victoria?
There has, yeah, about $3.3 million, guys. So, look, the Australian Cup will go from $1.5 million to $3 million and the Blue Diamond Stakes got an extra $500,000 to $2 million. So a few other increases there throughout, but they were the main ones. The Australian Cup, I suppose, has got a little bit lost in the calendar the last few years with other races getting a lot of love. So that prize money increase for the Australian Cup will be well received because a race that has lost some of its sparkle in the last few years with a lack of prize money and horses opting to go to other feature races that have become more lucrative.
What's your best bet today, mate?
Look, I think race 5, number 9, Back to Man, guys. Open enough staying, but he looks well suited there today. He's just been given not much, he doesn't have much luck, put it that way. I think I'll be kind enough to the jockeys in the last couple of starts, but he should have clearly last time out. He just found about every backside up the straight you could find and only got out 100 from home and still almost won. So gets a nice bit of weight relief today with the claim of Dylan Gibbon. Towards the inside, I think the rail might be the place to be following the rail around with that rail out today. And I think he looks pretty hard to beat. He just needs a bit of luck. There should be good speed again. And if the gap's open for him this time, I think it'd be very hard to hold out. Race 5, number 9, Back to Man.
Back to Man. $3.90. Dylan Gibbons rides for Nathan Doyle. That is race 5, number 9. Davo's best at the farm. Warwick Farm today. Thank you, Davo. Have a good day.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day. Talk soon. Cheers.